from the band Kansas, and the radio station here is about to do a special preview on our brand new Double Live album called Two for the Show, something that we think you'll really enjoy. It's a little bit different than the normal live album, and we hope that you'll give it a listen if you have the time. And it is different is because we are not doing over every part that sounds wrong and every part that has mistakes in it or is a little bit out of tune.
Hey, when are you guys going to do it? People would, every night somebody would ask that. And it happened so much that we finally figured we better do one.
Kansas. First Robbie Steinhardt, then Kerry Livgren. Their new live album is Two for the Show.
We're very, very, very critical about things, and people come in and say, boy, you guys really kill yourselves to get those things perfect, because, you know, I mean, it sounds great to me, and you guys are never satisfied.
Our number one goal was to take the concert goer into consideration.
Steve Walsh.
And that's what really makes me mad about bands, is because they look like they're just take the money and run bands, because they really don't even perform to the people. There's nothing I enjoy more, with the exception of sex, than playing in front of a large audience of people.
There's some performances on the live album that I like quite a bit better than the studio. The Wall sounds more the way I envisioned it in my mind, and Magnum Opus is much stranger than it came off on the album. Portrait, in particular, has all the guts that it should have had on the studio album. That's why I'm excited about the
Kansas album. Only by Dust in the Wind or Carry On Wayward Son, then get to know an all-new Kansas. If Left Overture and Point of No Return are the two Kansas albums you own, there's much more. This is the story, and this is the music as Kansas captured it live for you. I'm Ed Shane, and this is Two for the Show. Kansas, the way Kansas always wanted to play it. We start with Song for America after this. At Axis Sound Studios in Atlanta, where the mixdown was done for Two for the Show. Outside, you can hear the pinball machine that the studio provides for the bands who record here. And inside with me, you can hear Kerry Livgren. Kerry, you were telling me about the reaction you had to hearing the tapes for the first time. It's the first time you had heard Kansas live.
Oh, I think we come across very powerful, a lot of power. And I think, you know, obviously I like our own music, and that's a quality that I enjoyed because, you know, we write things that way, and so trying to listen to it objectively, I think I'd enjoy it.
You guys are really hard on yourselves. Ah, fresh from the pinball machine, here's Rich Williams, the guitarist. Rich, we're talking about how hard on yourselves the self-criticism that Kansas gives to members of the band. Is it really that you're that imperfect?
Oh, like you could talk with, like people in the Mahavishnu Orchestra or people with Chick Corea, you know. They could tell you about the terrible night they had and the mistakes they made. So you talk with somebody in the Philharmonic and they'd say, oh, we didn't have a very good night tonight. And they might notice it because they hear them all the time. Whereas, you know, somebody come back and tell us, guy, I've never heard you guys sound better. And before that, we were hardcore fans that have been with us since, like, the first and second album. If you were going to ask them of a song that they would relate to as being, you know, representative of us, especially in those days, it would be that song. I feel the same way. It sounds like us to me.
Robbie, tell me about the sequence of the tunes on the new album.
Some of the things really dictate their own order, like Magnum Opus. There's no way on earth you could put that anywhere else but as the very last song, as a finale. And Song for America seems to, it has no significance as being first to me. It's just that the band has always thought that there was no way else to really do it. I think maybe we did it towards the end of a set once, but it's almost always been the first thing on the agenda.
Something else on the Kansas agenda is that classical orientation they get from Robbie's violin. Classical rock, a true paradox. That's next on Kansas, Two for the Show. Says he wanted to print on the back of the album cover, no overdubs, no re-recording of the live performances.
We came in with that attitude of doing as few
overdubs as possible, and there really had to be a good reason for them. And in a couple of circumstances, there were no, like, the keyboards were lost due to a technical problem. And so, you know, Carrier, myself, whoever's keyboards were lost in the mix, why, we did come in and do those parts that we do live. But there has been nothing really done on this album performance-wise that I can say that is not in our live show. 30,000, we give those people what they paid to see. We're all up for a new stage setup.
At Steve's new house just outside of Atlanta, we all sat around the pool to talk about concerts. Here's Phil Ehart, Kansas drummer.
I think everybody's up for different positions on stage, but how we're going to do that is yet, we don't know. Because it's getting so expensive to take a tour out, especially if you're an established band. Like, say you want to look into lasers. Well, you walk in and say, hi, I'm the light man for Kansas, and I want to talk to you about lasers. Well, they think, well, let's see, Kansas is a big band, so I'm really going to stick it to them because they're going to have the money.
Our lighting man, who is Merle McClain, did the best job of lighting us that he could. And we spent our money in that regard, not with special effects so much as we did just making us perceivable and making us look different from scene to scene, and not any holograms and lasers and everything that we might have been able to use very tastefully, but we just concentrated on the simplest thing that we knew how to do. You know,
could you describe the sound that people have been hearing in the background? Would you tell what's actually going on?
Because it's mine.
Oh yeah, you tell them, Steve.
It's a bug light that covers 3 acres, and you won't feel a mosquito on your whole body because it takes them and
like the one I just killed on his neck, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but anyway, it electrocutes bugs and small birds. Just kidding about the birds.
The birds are as safe as Icarus, born on wings of steel. Good combination of that sound that Robbie's violin and Steve and Carrie's keyboards bring. Classical rock, maybe.
I think a lot of our approaches to different songs has been influenced greatly by classical music in the past and European bands, rock bands. I've always said that. And for a while, you know, we were really getting sick of hearing Kansas, quote unquote, a classical rock band, you know, because we really don't fit into there. That's too classy for us. It really is, because we're not really that classically orientated, and we're not that dazzling of musicians. We just fit together as a band.
Kansas fulfilled an ambition when they started performing their own material exclusively. Now with the live album, another group ambition is fulfilled, to take over all the production of their records. Robbie Steinhardt's lifelong ambition is fulfilled. Because Robbie Steinhardt has always wanted to be a disc jockey.
I've done a couple of guest DJ spots around the country, and I've really enjoyed it, you know, when I was doing it. The one I did in Clearwater, I just took my own collection of albums with me, walked in with my own albums, and she said, my gosh, you know, sat down and immediately became friends, and I left a couple of them with her. She liked the album so well. But I had everything pretty much all picked out when I went there. I didn't use any of their music at all. I try to get the people that are working there to go against what they normally do. And sometimes they say, well, this is a guest spot, so you really can do what you want, you know, and we won't get hell for it, you know.
Consider this a guest spot of the Kansas special. I'm going to play Portrait and Carry On Wayward Son, and you have a national radio audience here. How would you introduce them?
I do not know. God, this is just on the spur of the moment here. I'd probably say something to the effect that a couple of songs from the new album we've just done live, Portrait and Carry On Wayward Son, off two different albums, two different Kansas albums. And the difference between the songs you would hear on the album and the ones you're going to hear on the live album is the fact that Portrait runs right into Wayward Son. We wrote it so that there's no pause between the two songs, and they just... one runs right into the other, very effectively, I think, too.
Cruising along in Portrait, and all of a sudden it's a different song. And you don't even know what happened. Those kind of surprises make it interesting.
Carey wrote Wayward Son and Dust in the Wind. Does that mean pressure for another hit record?
I'm personally overlooking it. At first, when that song was a hit, I thought, my God, I'm going to have to write something to top that. And that particular outlook can really gnaw away at you and erode your the whole creative process, because if you're totally absorbed in trying to better something that you've done previously, that absorption will, you know, cloud your mind and really make it difficult to write. So I didn't even try to top it. I just thought, well, I'm going to go on and write what I would have written anyway and forget that it even happened. Then Dust in the Wind was an even bigger hit. And, you know, now I'm not going to go write 12 songs on acoustic guitar that sound like Dust in the Wind because that was a hit. I mean, it's nice that that was. And that song served its purpose for me. It stated what I wanted to state. And, you know, that was cool that happened, but to try to make it happen again is just futile.
The band just doesn't sit down and try to write songs that way, but we've been fortunate, we really have, because I think if it hadn't have been for a couple of songs like Dust in the Wind and Carry On Wayward Son, we would still be somewhat obscure. It keeps your head in kind of a good place when you walk up to somebody and they say, oh, you play in a rock band, huh? And I say, yeah. And they say, well, who do you play for? And I say, Kansas. And they go, who? You know, it just kind of keeps your head right there where it belongs.
People who know only their recent albums are always excited to discover new material from years ago. It's next as we continue with Kansas Live.
Gotten out, you know, and people are just kind of running from us. That's the feeling I get.
Before we get back to music that Phil calls a drummer's challenge, there's another challenge from Kansas. It's from their softball team.
We're the best team in rock and roll.
Just personal satisfaction of pounding people into the ground.
And I think it should be known throughout the country that we've made a challenge to the Eagles, and we haven't heard anything from them. I mean, you know, they're supposed to be great. Well, why don't they accept our challenge? We haven't heard anything from them. We're ready to take them on, and we'll take on anybody, you know, within the rock and roll realm.
Did you guys get a cover on Rolling Stone another way than challenging the Eagles?
Right. We're working on that. No, we have most of our games are for charity, and it's a good release and a lot of fun. You know, it's something we can get involved with our crew. You know, we feel the whole team, you know, from the crew and the band. So we have uniforms, and we're tough. We even have our own bag of bats.
Bat bag.
Ow. They took their bat bag onto the diamond against an Atlanta radio station.
And they did a real great job of promoting it. They just didn't do a very good job of playing the game. Final score was, what, 36 to 6?
32.
32 to 6. That was the official score. We lost count after 30. Some of the guys were asleep on the bench, you know, just waiting to bat. We outdrew the Atlanta Braves that particular night. They were in town.
Tell them about the pie in the face that they received.
Yes, the consolation for the losers was pie, or for the winners, I should say, was they got to hit the losers with pie in the face. We brought along, 13 cream pies, and each guy in the band got a pie and nailed.
Lined them up
and gave them 10 hats.
Very satisfying.
It was great.
Once again, the challenge.
The Eagles. I'm tired of reading about them. I want to see them in action. I want to see them with pie on their face.
Right now, we'd like to say Williams was really happy to hear Journey from Mary Abron again.
We always wanted to do it a little bit different way, you know, now that we had a chance to. We were so green as far as anything to do with recording and things that it was one of those albums where, you know, it was the first album, and we didn't know anything about it. Get in and do it, mix it, and that's the way it is. We rearranged parts of it slightly and stuff, and just after a few years of listening to it the way it was, sort of more the way we wanted to redo it. Plus, it's fun to pull out an old song that you haven't played in a long time. So it was my favorite spot of the night to play, and it, in a lot of ways, is my favorite song on the album.
Coming up, Dust in the Wind, Mysteries and Mayhem, and an incredible version of Magnum Opus. This is Ed Shane. The Kansas Live LP, Two for the Show, continues after a station break.
If somebody would have told me 2 years ago that an acoustic song
like Dust in the Wind, would be our biggest hit ever, I would have told them they were nuts.
It's a mellow side of us that doesn't always come out, but that it shows on that record is really worthy of listening to, the mellow side of Kansas.
Would have told me 2 years ago that an acoustic song would be our biggest hit ever, I would have told them they were nuts. Then, you know, Phil would have been right, because regardless of classical overtones we talked about before, regardless of Dust in the Wind, regardless of complexity, Kansas is a rock and roll band.
One thing that we like doing is being the first loud music that you hear, you know? And because, you know, you get an opening band that's just cranking through 50 million Marshalls that, well, you know, by the end of their set, the audience is deaf. We really respect acoustical instruments such as Leo Kottke plays and the way he sings and everything. We always wanted to do a tour with him. We did a date once in L.A. with a magician once called Mr. Electric.
In a bug machine.
It was funny because he had himself wired, and so he could come near a light bulb, almost touch the light bulb, and then light up. And he was telling me backstage before he went on that he almost electrocuted this drunk one time who just kind of meandered over and fell upon Mr. Electric, and Mr. Electric almost went up for manslaughter for killing this guy.
Oh,
he got away fast. No.
Some of that loud music that Steve was talking about, well, that's next. This is Kansas, two for the show. Steve Walsh again.
We were playing up in the eastern section of the United States. And there was a couple of kids that drove for, oh hell, how far did they drive? Over 100 miles. They were only like 17 or 18 years old. And they drove to this gig because we weren't going to be playing around their area. And they were really nice kids and everything. And we talked for a while. And they were just thrilled to death, you know, that they got to talk to people in Kansas. And I said, "What? I don't want you to be offended if I ask you guys a question." They said, "Okay." And I said, "How many albums do you think we have out?" And they said, "Two." You know, everything was that I thought was true really was because the fact that those hit singles were there, you know. And so when they went to the concert that night, they heard some definitely new material.
You have to be careful in how you play that song, that you don't fill it up too much. You don't play too much. About 95% of this band is taste, because that's where everybody shines. We don't really have any real ripping type musicians like a John McLaughlin or anything that can just, you know, set the guitar on fire. But each musician in this band just works on taste. They know their limitations. They know it.
Taste keeps Kansas humble too. Take Kerry Livgren, for example. He's a man responsible for writing two hit records, but like the rest of the group, his ego is still manageable.
The band's got a little defense mechanism against ego, because we've seen it happen to too many other people. And I think we're kind of over the hump in that respect. When we first started getting really popular, which wasn't really, I mean, to be a really big mega group wasn't something Kansas ever set out to do to begin with, I don't think. That wasn't a major goal. I mean, we wanted to be proficient in what we did and be able to make a living and everything, but we didn't plan on being rock stars. And I still don't think we do. It's just kind of take it all with a grain of salt. It's the only way I find you can survive in the crazy business that this is. We fit in like oil and water at Hollywood parties. It's just not our bag. I mean, we're kind of your basic Midwestern guys, and that's about all you can say.
Sometimes it's refreshing to have nothing more to say than that. But there's more to these basic Midwestern guys. Next, a lot of attitudes come out of the closet. When tension from recording and touring puts the squeeze on members of Kansas, they put the squeeze to triggers of handguns from Steve's or Phil's collection. Target practice on Steve's property, for instance.
It's just strictly sport shooting, you know, just set up targets and shoot it. It's relaxing, it's fun.
People are scared of guns, you know, naturally.
Can't blame them.
And no, you don't want to blame them. As a matter of fact, it's, you know, it's a good thing to respect your weapon. And it's just, it's fun for us, you know.
Fun, yes. But there's no craziness when they shoot. I've never seen people more safety conscious. Not only do pistols come out of the Kansas closet, but Carrie has an old song that came out for their last album, Closet Chronicles.
Well, that song was, it actually predates our first album. I wrote the original Closet Chronicles in 1973. And then when this band first got together, we learned it, and then we dropped it after a while. And then when it came time to do Point of No Return, the album, Steve dredged it up from the forgotten file, and we reworked a lot of it. And it turned out to be a cool song.
Which came before the first Kansas LP. For what comes after the new live album, Robbie has the schedule.
We will take a 3-month break, and Steve will be doing a solo album during that period. We'll take 6 weeks to practice for the new album, recording it for about 4 weeks, in the studio mixing it for about 4 weeks. The album will be released hopefully the last week in May sometime. Then we'll go out on the road doing about 35 dates around the country, starting off with a couple of smaller dates to get in the groove of playing live again. And then we'll be playing hopefully Australia first and Japan. And the band wants to play Russia, but the thing that just happened over there recently with Bill Graham and all that stuff is, you know, probably means that it won't happen, but we're dying to play Russia. And a few other places we like to play, perhaps South America. The next year looks real good. Like I say, the band as a unit off stage is miles above where we've ever been before, and as a unit on stage, we're getting closer to what I want it to sound like. And of course, I guess you never quite achieve that point that you're reaching for, but I suppose it's always best that when you almost are up on that point that you move a little farther ahead, you know. As always, we always want to strive for something better.
I don't know what could be better than the final performance on the live LP. Carrie calls it a really bizarre piece of music. And it's next on Kansas, 2 for the Show. Earlier in this program, there's only one place for Magnum Opus, and that's at the end of a concert. Naturally, it comes as the final track of the Kansas 2 for the Show album.
This particular mix of Magnum Opus kind of makes a statement as far as the unity of the band and what we can do as an ensemble, and the fact that everybody, even though like my part was very minute, everybody in the band had something to do with the writing of that song. And I think it's really kind of neat that song turned out that way live. It's always been a neat live song, but it's really going to grab some people.
As if Kansas didn't grab people with a presentation of Magnum Opus at some concerts.
We had this guy that we talked him into wearing this nun's outfit during this one particular point of the song. He was a roadie, and he would just come out on stage and act like he just came out of the crowd. And it was just this nun that was, you know, going crazy for the band, loved the band and everything. And then Jolly, one of the biggest roadies I've ever seen in my life, would come out on stage and take this nun and escort her off stage, you know. But she would try to get away from him and everything, and he would accidentally end up tearing her habit off. And so there would be this naked guy on stage with this nun veil on, running around under these strobe lights, you know, because we didn't want it to be too visual, you know, or too sacrilegious or whatever, so we put him under strobe light. Figure that's all right.
Bizarre music, and I had never really thought of it so much that way. You know, I wrote a good portion of it, and of course I performed it a million times, but I've never really sat back and and listen to it from an audience point of view. And I found that very interesting. I think if I was in the audience, I'd be a little scared of it. It's pretty bizarre. It really is.
A bizarre piece of music, ending a rare live album, because Two for the Show has not been doctored or repaired in the studio except for a few technical flaws in the recording. If you heard them, you've got better ears than I have. You know, Steve was right earlier. They should have put it on the album. No overdubs.
Practically no overdubs.
Two for the Show, the Kansas Live Album. This is Ed Shane. I've been writer and producer for this radio special.